This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
To make the Adhi, ask Bilal. What was the reason why? He said because he has a sweeter voice. A stronger voice and more beautiful voice. And so, but making the adhan, when you have the opportunity to do so, the reward is very tahjir. If they knew, okay, let me just split the hadith up so we don't read the whole, so we translate little by little. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسُ مَا فِي النِّدَاءِ. If people knew what is in a nida, meaning the nida here is the call. What is the call? The call, of course, is the adhan. And if the people knew what is in it, meaning what the reward of it, was saf al-awwal, and the first line, the first row in prayer. If people knew, which means what? Because people don't really know. People don't realize how rewarding it is, how great the reward is. Why? Because they don't see it right away. Like on the Day of Judgment, when reward is being passed out, then if we were to see and we were to know how much the reward is, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is what would happen. He said, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَجِدُوا إِلَّا أَن يَسْتَهِمُوا عَلَيْهِ. Then they find no way to determine who makes the adhan and who is in the first row, except that they have to pick lots. That means, well, you want to be in the first row? We have to pull your name out. If you don't pull your name out, that means everyone's here early, but everyone's fighting to be in the first row. And people are so almost, battling each other. It would cause problems. Right? So sometimes there are certain things that everybody wants. And because so many people want it, what do? You have to pick their name out randomly, so that there wouldn't be any fights. Because if you say, okay, you, then what's gonna happen? People are gonna say, why does he get to go? Why don't I get to go? So if there wasn't any other way to determine who gets to make the adhan and who gets to be in the first row, then if people knew the reward, you would be forced to pick their names out. You would be forced to pick lots. And وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِي التَّهْجِيرِ لَاسْتَبَقُوا إِلَيْهِ. If they knew the reward of going, tahjir here is التَّبْكِير إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, meaning to go early to the masjid, to go early. If they knew the reward of going to the masjid early, they would have gone to it, meaning they would have gone to it. They would have gone to it, meaning they would race each other. Everyone would try to go as early as possible. Everyone would try to go as early as possible. You know how some people, when they want something really bad, what would they do? They go very, very early. Remember previously when they used to have Black Friday? What did people used to do Black Friday? What did people used to do on Black Friday? They used to camp out in front of the stores. For what? So they can buy TV for 30% off or something. Right? Buy TV. They go in there and buy TV. They camp out in front of the store. And sometimes they want an iPhone. And the iPhone is going to come out tomorrow. So in the iPhone store, what did they do? They go so early that they go before, Abdurrahman, can you turn off the other? And they go so early that they line up the previous night. That's for the people of the dunya. If the Muslims were to know how great the reward is of coming early for each prayer, you would see people doing much more than that. Much more than that. Masjid is literally like trying to get into the masjid. Of course, the masjid should always, you know, usually it's all, if people are there, it's usually open. But this is the reward. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ, if the people were to know, if they were to know. That means they don't really know. But what, but if we, when he's telling us this, the people who have faith, the people who have iman, this is your level of iman. That's why your level of iman is connected to your actions. Because if you truly believe, then you would be doing this. This is what you would be doing. You would be coming to the masjid early. You would be trying to stay in the front, the front row, right? And you would find the opportunity, if you can, to make the adhan also. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِي الْعَتَمَةِ وَالصُّبْحِ لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَا. And if the people were to know, مَا فِي الْعَتَمَةِ, الْعَتَمَةِ means the darkness, the meaning the prayer, the Isha prayer, the Isha والصبح, and the Fajr prayer, the morning prayer, meaning وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِي الْعَتَمَةِ وَالصُبْحِ. What does that mean? That means coming to the masjid and in those times. Al-Atama is darkness. Darkness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not speaking, he's speaking about, of course, Isha prayer. لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِي الْعَتَمَةِ. But he didn't use the Isha prayer. Why didn't he use the Isha prayer? Because there are other hadith that he prohibited the companions from calling the Isha prayer the Atama, Salat al-Atama, the prayer, the Atama prayer. Atama means what? It means darkness. Do you understand darkness? Night, when it's really, really dark. So because it's associated with darkness and night and darkness, to say, okay, we're going to pray the darkness prayer, it's like, doesn't sound, it's sort of like, doesn't sound right. Right, because it's not associated with things that are good. And that's why when he says al-atama, darkness here, that means going to the masjid in the darkness, to the Isha prayer. He's not calling the actual Isha prayer. It is the Isha prayer that you're going to, but it's associated with everything else also. Going early, walking to the masjid in those times, as-subh, also in the morning, more subh is the morning prayer, right? And لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَا, they would go to it even if they had to. حَبْوَا, do you know what حَبْوَا means? Anyone? الْحَبْوَا, الْحَبْوَا is walking on your behind. It's not like crawling like this on your stomach, but you know, when, like old people, very, very old people, when they can't move, can't stand up, moving, they can't stand up, they don't have enough energy, how do they move? They sit down and they're like this, right? And they're moving forward, but it's like they're sitting down and moving just to get there. If they knew, وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ, the people knew what the reward during that time to go to the masjid and pray, in Fajr prayer, for Fajr prayer, and Isha prayer, during the Atama, and during the nighttime, and during the morning time, لَأَتَوْهُمَا, they would have gone to it, even if they had to walk on their behinds, like crawl on their behinds just to get to, meaning they don't have the energy to even walk normally. And they're so old, or they're maybe they don't, they're sick, they can't. And imagine someone going to the masjid like that. For us, it's so much easier for us. Even if you have a hard time going to the masjid, you still are able to sometimes, you know, drive. And so the reward, so what are we talking about the reward here? The reward of the adhan is also very, very great. That people would have to, if they knew the reward, they would fight for it. And there's another hadith, an amazing hadith, in At-Tabarani. And the hadith is considered authenticated by Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah in his book Sahih At-Targhib At-Tarhib. Sahih At-Targhib At-Tarhib. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith from Abi Umamah radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤذن يغفر له مدى صوته وأجره مثل أجر من صلى معه. الله أكبر. المؤذن is forgiven for the distance of his sound, his voice. Wherever his voice reaches, he's forgiven for that distance. Anywhere, anytime a person commits a sin in any area that the adhan is being made, wherever his voice reaches, he's forgiven for. وَأَجْرُهُ and his reward, مِثْلَ أَجْرِ مَنْ صَلَّى مَعَهُ. So for that particular prayer, the muadhin gets the reward of everyone who comes to pray also. The reward of everyone who comes to pray also. And anybody know why that's the case? Because أَدَّالُ عَلَى خَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. One who calls people to good is like the one who does it also. But it's even more than that. What if they don't hear it? It's okay. If they come to pray in a prayer that you made the adhan in, inshallah, you'll get the reward of everyone in the congregation also. So you want to multiply your reward. This is a wonderful opportunity. And also, a muadhin is forgiven for. Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, there's a hadith in al-Nasa'i also from Al-Bara ibn Azim. And al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الصَّفْحِ الْمُقَدِّمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, Allah and His angels, they pray upon, they give salawat upon the first, the beginning, the first row, I mean the rows in the front rows. وَالْمُؤَذِّنْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ مَدَى صَوْتِهِ. And the muadhin will be forgiven for the amount of the distance of his voice. يُصَدِّقُهُ مَنْ سَمِعُهُ مِنْ رَطْبٍ وَيَابِسٍ وَلَهُ مِثْلَ أَجْرُ مَنْ صَلَّى مَعَهُ. And this is another hadith in Sunan al-Nasa'i. It's also an authentic hadith. That first of all, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الصَّفِّ Al-awwal, being the first or the beginning in the front saf. Muadhin, and the person who makes the adhan, he's forgiven for, and everything will testify for him on the day of judgment. Every ratbin and wiyabisin, which means what? Everything that's wet and dry, everything that's alive and has life and doesn't have life, like rocks and so forth, and any animal, anything that has. On the day of judgment, will testify for him. Will testify for him. وَلَهُ مِثْلَ أَجْرِ مَنْ صَلَّى مَعَهُ. And he will get the reward of everyone who prays. He get the reward for everyone who prays with him. And in another hadith in Sahih Muslim, from Talha ibn Yahya an ammihi, Talha ibn Yahya, who narrated from his uncle, قال كنت عند معاوية ابن أبي سفيان. I was with معاوية ابن أبي سفيان. فجاءه المؤذن يدعوه إلى الصلاة. And the muadhin came to معاوية to call him to the prayer. فقال معاوية, and معاوية رضي الله عنه, he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يامة. They are the ones who have the longest necks. And you might think, well, what's the benefit of it? In times in which it's difficult, you know, especially when you have everyone gathered and there's crowds, for those who have made Hajj, and those who have made Hajj, when it's crowded, when everything is crowded, when is it the you when you are in the crowd, when you're breathing, breathing is very hard. Everything is very difficult. But if your neck is, if you're, in order for you to breathe cool air and comfortably, you have to try to, you know, like stand as tall as you can. You have to stand as tall as you can. And those, of course, who have, you know, long necks, well, not when, right now you might say, well, long necks look ugly. Right? On the Day of Judgment, this is something that will benefit, will be something that will be very, very beneficial. You, those who stand out, those who stand out on the Day of Judgment because of their status. On the Day of Judgment, the Mu'adhin, you will see those who make the Adhan, they have the longest necks. Those who make the Adhan will have the longest necks. And in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith from Sahih Bukhari and from Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Sa'at al-Ansari, ثم المازني عن أبيه أنه أخبره أن أبا سعيد الخضري قال له, this is from Sahih Bukhari, father who told him that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, قال له, إني أراك تحب الغنم, إني أراك تحب الغنم والبادية. He said, I see that you like to be out in the open, to, you know, to raise sheep, right, and you know, raise your flock, sheep and goats, and والبادية, and also you like to be in the open in the desert. And he said, whenever, فَإِذَا كُنْتَ فَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِي غَنَمِكَ وَبَادِيَتِكَ, he said, whenever you're with your flock, you know, your flock that you're taking care of, and you're in the desert, فَأَذَّنْتَ بِالصَّلَةِ, and then when you make the adhan for the prayer, فَرْفَعْ صَوْتَكَ, raise your voice. When you're making the adhan, to raise your voice, to make it as loud as you can, bin nida, when you're making the adhan. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُ مَدَى صَوْتِ الْمُؤَذِّنِ جِنٌّ وَلَا إِنسٌ وَلَا شَيْءٌ إِلَّا شَهِدَ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. قال أبو سعيد, سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, whenever you're in the open, in the desert, raise your voice, because there's nothing that hears your voice when you make the adhan for prayer. There's no jinn, there's no mankind, and there isn't anything that hears it, except that on the Day of Judgment, it will testify on your behalf. It will testify on your behalf. That means it will bear witness. You know, this is the day that you need people to come to help out. You know, in this world, sometimes somebody gets in trouble and they go to court. So who do they usually bring? If you know, they bring people sometimes to testify for them. Like, this person is good, this person did this and that. But on the Day of Judgment, everyone that hears the person's adhan. And that's why this shows what? Even if you're by yourself, even if you're praying alone, even if you're out in the open, then you should still make the adhan. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. So that means even when you're traveling, you're stopping at a rest area, it's time to pray, make the adhan. If you're camping, even if you're the only family there, make the adhan. Make the adhan, because there's nothing that hears it. There's no one that hears it, except that there's no tree, no rock, no pebble. That means everything that hears your adhan, that your voice reaches, if you're next to a lake, that means everything around you, trees and leaves, on the Day of Judgment, will testify for you on the Day of Judgment. So make the adhan when you're out in the open. Another great benefit of the adhan is the adhan expels the shaitan. Shaitan runs away. And of course, you don't want the shaitan to be near you. And so when you're making the adhan, he runs away. And that's why in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا نُودِيَ بِالصَّلَاةِ أَدْبَرَ الشَّيْطَانُ وَلَهُ ضُرَاطْ حَتَّى لَا يُسْمَعَ الْأَذَانِ. He said, the Messenger of Allah says, when the prayer is being called, the adhan is being called, the shaitan flees, running, flees, and you can hear him passing gas. It causes him to pass gas, and that means this is, it humiliates him. You know, when somebody's going and he's like, and walahu durat, that means the sound, even the sound of passing gas. And he will go until he can't hear the adhan. He will go as far as, so the longer your adhan, the louder your adhan, the further he goes. He flees until he's unable to hear the adhan, because he can't stand the adhan. The shaitan can't stand listening to the adhan. You know how you have some type of for animals, they have some sounds that they can hear. So if you want them to, like, if you don't want certain animals to come, and there's some devices, I don't know if it works or not, like they have some devices that make certain pitch sounds that the mice who might run away from your house. Right? The shaitan, when you make the adhan, he goes away as far as he can, حَتَّى لَا يُسْمَعَ الْأَذَانِ, until he's unable to hear the adhan. فَإِذَا قُضِيَ الْأَذَانِ أَقْبَلَ أَقْبَلَ, and then when the adhan is over, he comes back. فَإِذَا ثُوِّبَ بِهَا أَدْبَرَ. فَإِذَا ثُوِّبَ بِهَا means when the iqama is being called, then he goes again. فَإِذَا قُضِيَ التَّثْوِيبَ, and when the iqama is over, أَقْبَلَ حَتَّى يَخْتَرُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَنَفْسِهِ يَخْتَرُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَنَفْسِهِ يَقُولُ, until he, when prayer starts, of course, the iqama is over, he comes back. And then he starts whispering in people's ears when they're praying, your ears when you're praying, اُذْكُرْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Remember this and remember that. اُذْكُرْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَذْكُرُ حَتَّى يَظِلُّ رَجُلٌ إِنْ يَدْرِ كَمْ صَلَّى حَتَّى يَظِلُّ رَجُلٌ, and until a person will continue to realize he doesn't know how much he has prayed. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِذَا لَمْ يَدْرِ أَحَدُكُمْ كَمْ صَلَّى ثَلَاثًا أَوْ أَرْبَعًا فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ وَهُوَ جَهْلَسْ. So this is another hadith that's related to also sujood as-sahwi. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the shaitan will come. And he will say, remember this and remember that. And so sometimes you're trying to remember something. You're trying to remember something. And you can't remember it. And then when you stand up to pray, the shaitan will try to remind you. That if you lose something, especially when you don't know where you put your keys, you don't know where your phone is, when it's time to pray, what happens? The only thing you're thinking about in prayer is where did you last see it? Where did you put it? And then he will remind you where it is. He will remind you. Why? Because you might say, well, that's good. That's what you've been looking for. But he realizes how great the reward of khushu is. That you have your khushu, the reward for it is so great that the shaitan is willing to help you find your keys. He's willing to help you find your keys. He doesn't want to help you. He never wants to help you with anything. But I'll trade this for you. I'll help you find your keys as long as you don't have khushu in prayer. So he'll try to remind you until a person will not know when, how much he prayed, 3 rak'ahs or 4 rak'ah. And if this happens, then let him make 2 sujood when he's sitting down. Which means what? This is the sujood is sahwi. So if you don't know, what does it mean, wahuwa jalis? It means that you do so inside your prayer. You take, let's say you don't know how many rak'ah you pray. So what do you do? If you don't know whether it's three or two or four, what do you do? What do you build on? You build on yaqeen. That means you don't know if it's three or four. You're certain that you prayed at least three. Four is what you doubt. So you make it three. You understand? You make it three. And if you make it three, then you're praying three, but you still don't know whether it's three or four. Do you understand? So you, at the end of the prayer, you make sujood sahwi. Sujood sahwi before you give salams. Why? Because your doubt lasted until the end. Do you understand? Your doubt lasted until the end. It lasted until, it means you still didn't know. At the end of when you gave your salams, you don't know whether you prayed four or five. You're still uncertain. But it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Just make sujood sahwi. Make three, take the lower one, less of the two. If it's two or three, make it two. If it's one or two, the one you don't forget usually, three or four, right? Hopefully you don't forget the number of one rak'ah, two rak'ah. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you know, your mind is very far. And so if you don't know how many rak'ah you prayed, so this is doubt. This is doubt when it comes to the number of rak'ah. There's two types of doubts here. One doubt continues until the end of prayer. Do you understand? And there's another doubt that is only partial doubt. In the end, you remember. So what's a partial doubt? A partial doubt is, I'm thinking like, oh, let me see. Is this three or four? And you're like, oh, no, it is, it's three. Because I remember thinking about, you know, my third wife. On the third rak'ah, for example. Just say, giving the example. Oh, and that's, so I know it's three for really three, because I mean, because, you know, I'm just giving the example. Okay, so the first rak'ah, hopefully you don't do it. First rak'ah, you're like, let me see, okay, what do I have to buy for my first wife? Okay, or you know, to take care of the house. Second rak'ah, what do I do for the second? The third rak'ah, you're like, okay, I know, because I, how do I know it's for three for sure? 100%, I know it's three. I don't know, three or four, wait, it's three because of this, right? Because of this. And now I'm 100% sure, but then you thought you doubted, so then from the third rak'ah to the fourth rak'ah, there's a time that you remain doubtful for maybe, you know, one fourth of the prayer. You didn't know how much you prayed. But then when you're about to give salams, oh no, this is correct. This is the fourth rak'ah. I didn't make a mistake. I didn't add anything. I didn't subtract anything. But I doubt it. Right? So did you add anything? Did you subtract anything? No. And are you 100% sure now how many you prayed? And so that's a partial doubt. That means part of your prayer. So when do you make sujood sahwi then? You give salams first and then you make sujood sahwi. But if your doubt continues, okay, this is the end. I know that this is the fourth or fifth, but I prayed, I make it as if it's the, you know, I don't know for sure, but I think it's the, you know, I take the lesser of the three. Three or four, I'm going to make it three. It could be four, but I don't know, I forgot. So you never remember. Until the end, you don't know. And you probably will never know whether you prayed four or five. If your doubt doesn't end, and it's time to give salams, then you make sujood sahwi before you give salams. So a complete doubt until the end of the prayer is before the salams. A partial doubt, and then you remember because you didn't do anything wrong. But because of that doubt that shaitan comes, then you make sujood after the prayer. You understand? After the taslim. You give salams first, then you do sujood sahwi. If you doubt until the end, and it never comes back, and you're about to give salams, then you do sujood sahwi before. Do you understand? So let me test you guys. Okay. I'm praying Dhuhr prayer right now. I'm praying, and then I know, I don't know if I'm sitting down. This sitting down right here is for the shaitan comes and says, makes me forget. So one thing, another thing we learn is the shaitan makes you forget. Right? The shaitan makes you forget. So the more you remember Allah, the less you forget. The more you remember Allah, because the more you remember Allah, the shaitan runs away. So if you want to forget less, remember Allah often. So even in your prayer, the shaitan makes you forget. And we know that he makes you forget. وَمَا أَنْسَانِهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ. And nothing made me forget except the shaitan did not make me remember it. So you're in the third rak'ah. You don't know how many. Okay? And you prayed, and then all of a sudden you pray, this is my fourth. So you're sitting down, right? You're going down for the fourth. And you say, no, this is my fourth. This is not the third. I know it's my fourth. Why? Because I read this and I did this. And then when I was praying, I remembered that I already stood up. So this is my fourth rak'ah. So you're doing your tashahud. And you, between three and four, you forgot how many. But then right at the end, you remember. Right at the end, you remember, oh, I remember now. This is four for sure. 100%, this is four rak'ah. I know, one, two, three, four. I didn't add anything. So do you do sujood sahwi?
After.
You do so, yes, but you do it afterwards. But what if this happens, okay? You go, Allahu Akbar, and then you're sitting down still for ruku', and then the shaitan comes and says, it makes you forget where it's three or four. And then immediately he says it, but you haven't moved, you haven't done anything yet. You haven't moved to the next action yet. And then you remember, so no, this is three. I know, shaitan trying to make me forget. I know it's three. This is not four. Because I read this and I read that, and I just sat down, and then I went back up. This is three, this is not four. This three is not four. So do you make sujood sahwi? He comes and you remember right away. You forget just for like maybe a few moments. No, you don't do sujood sahwi. Because nothing changed. You didn't, you in your prayer, you never went through a time period where you did multiple actions while you're forgetting, forgetting how many prayers. Do you understand? So minor forgetfulness, like quick forgetfulness, doesn't affect your prayer. So just like, for example, when you're moving, right? Like sometimes you're about to, when you get up from sujood, and then you're about to stand up, and you didn't stand up all the way yet, and then you remember, no, this is the second rak'ah. I have to do tashahud. This is the second rak'ah. This is not the third, I just finished the second. This is the third. I'm going to the third rak'ah, you might sit down for a little bit, and then you remember. In that process, while you're moving, you remember what you should be doing. So let's say you pray, and you sat down a little bit, and then you stood up, and then you realize, wait, this is the second rak'ah. I have to do tashahud. And so you stand up halfway, and then you remember while you're going up to the third rak'ah. While you're going up to the third rak'ah, then you said, I have to do tashahud. So you sit right back down. You sit back down. Do you have to do a sujood sahwi?
No.
You don't have to because you didn't complete a whole action. Do you understand? You're still in the process of going to the next action in prayer. So if you're still going to the process of going to the next action in prayer, let's say, for example, you're the second rak'ah, you finished your, and then you're gonna, what do you have to do? You have to sit down, but you forget. So you stand up, but if you stood up all the way, then just stand up all the way, just continue. Why? Because you're already on the next, you've already moved on to the next action, and you skip something that's wajib. What is wajib? Wajib is mandatory if you remember. And if you don't remember, you stood up forgetfully, then you make it up with sujood sahwi. Wajib in prayer is something that you can make up if you forget. A rukun is something that you can't make up. A sunnah is something that you don't have to make up. Sunnah action in prayers. Do you understand? So because it's a wajib action, you can make it up. So just stand up, complete your prayer, but you left the tashahud. You left the sitting for the tashahud. But because you're missing a wajib, your sujood sahwi at the end, before you give salams, makes up for that two sitting. The sitting and the tashahud itself. So anyways, the hadith here, what we learn from this hadith is that, what are we talking about? The adhan. That the shaitan runs away when the adhan is called. The shaitan runs away when the iqamah is called. And so, the adhan also is a means to save you from the hellfire. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim, he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he, whenever the Fajr came, يغير إذا طلع الفجر وكان يستمع الأذان فإن سمع أذانا أمسك وإلا أغير. I mean, the كان رسول الله يغير إذا طلع الفجر. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to attack in the morning. He used to attack in the morning. And he used to listen for the adhan. If he would hear the adhan, amsaka. I mean, he would not attack. Because why? That's what you listen. You wait for them. In the morning, it's quiet, right? It's extremely quiet in the morning. In the morning, you can hear. So, of course, there were towns and communities that accepted Islam. And there were towns and communities that did not accept Islam. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would listen, and when he would hear the adhan being made, he would stop. And of course, one day he went and he heard Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the adhan. He says al-fitra. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." He said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." And the Messenger of Allah says that. When he heard him say that, he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, "You kharajta min an-nar, kharajtu min an-nar." He said, indeed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he heard the adhan, and he says these people have escaped or have left from the hellfire. This is an indication that those, of course, the adhan itself, of course, is a sign of Islam with la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and one who makes the adhan, of course, this is a sign that they are Muslims, and of course, the thing that is a sign of faith. And a sign of iman. And one who has iman, inshallah, will enter Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that person, man adhana, idha kana rajul bi ard. He said, if a person is in ard qay, meaning a land that's open, fahanat salat, and prayer time has come in. Then he makes wudu. And if he doesn't have wudu, then he makes tayammum. And فَإِنْ أَقَامَ صَلَّ مَعْهُ, and when he stands up and he prays, makes the iqamah, صَلَّ مَعْهُ, the two malakahu, that means the two angels to his, you know, the two angels are with him. وَإِنْ أَذَّنَ وَأَقَامَ وَصَلَّ, and if he makes the adhan, this is what, if he makes the iqamah only, then the angels that are with him, next to him, they pray with him. But if he makes the adhan and he makes the iqamah, meaning he makes the adhan out loud, صَلَّ خَلْفَهُ مِنْ جُنُودِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرَى طَرَفَهُ. He said, there's a whole army will be praying with him. I mean, the army, the junood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when somebody is by themselves, and if they're by themselves and they pray, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, give such great reward. And the angels also pray with you. You might think, well, who are you calling when you're making the adhan? When you're making the adhan, all of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't know what the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who and how vast and how great they are. So you're leading not just one person. You're not just one person. You might have a whole group of people, a whole group of others that you don't see, that you don't even see. Maybe as far as your eyes can see, there are soldiers of Allah, creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are praying behind you. So make the adhan, even if you're alone, by yourself. And so this is, you know, just some of the hadith in terms of the reward of making the adhan. And of course, this is the adhan is an act of worship. And we mentioned that when a person makes the adhan, the person who makes the adhan also should be someone who knows how to make the adhan correctly, who knows when to make the adhan. And we might say, you know, sometimes, you know, when the time that comes in, that's when you should make the adhan. But if someone hasn't made the adhan yet, then you make the adhan. Right, so sometimes in some masajids, the adhan is appointed. You know, you have certain people that make the adhan. And some masajids, you don't have, you know, whoever is there. And that's why they have a sign. The adhan had not been made, so that those who came in early, and it's time already, then they can make the adhan even if there's nobody there. So even if there's no one there, you might say, what's the use of the adhan? And when you're calling people to pray, especially here. Right over here, when you can't make it, we make adhan outside out loud, the neighbors are going to complain. Right in some cities, like in Dearborn, Michigan, and I know in Hamtramck, also in certain areas of Detroit, like they actually can make the adhan out loud. And there are other places also, like in, you know, if you go to certain cities in the UK, they're allowed to make because the majority of people there are Muslims. And so they allow them to make the adhan out loud. And people are listening to the adhan in Muslim countries, of course. But in non-Muslim countries, you still make the adhan. Is the adhan in your house sufficient from the alarm clock, your thing? It's okay to have that as an adhan, but it's not the actual adhan act of worship. It's a ritual act of worship. And as I mentioned, do you make the adhan when you're home then? If the adhan is being made in your neighborhood, then you don't have to. So that means you should be going to the masjid, not forming your own congregation in your house, but you should be going to the masjid to pray in the masjid of your neighborhood, the closest masjid that you can. And that's where the adhan should be made. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits and benefits from that which has taught us. Inshallah, and then we'll go back to some of the rulings about the adhan. But before we continue, I wanted to mention some of the reward, because sometimes, you know, the Umdat al-Ahkam, you have a hadith, but these hadith are about fiqh only, and not, you know, they're not in terms of virtues, fada'il, the virtues of adhan. Some of them are connected, but even the virtues are connected to the rulings, and wallahu ta'ala. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong our life, inshallah, next week. We'll continue again with Kitab or Bab al-Adhan, in the book of Salah, Kitab al-Salah. InshaAllah. So, subhanakallahu bihamdika. Anybody have any questions?